what you would have it to be. And Lord, that the word, that it will go forth and accomplish right now in the hearts of each one of us, O God, that which you desire. Use us, O God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like to talk to you a little bit this morning about the caveman. You know, they say that we evolved from evolution way back there to the caveman. And that's probably, I don't know whether that's right or not, but we'll let that go. That's for someone else to figure out. But the point is that there's a commercial on the TV, you've seen it a bunch of times. It's so simple that a caveman can do it, you know? And he kind of took offense to that, didn't he? Okay. The scriptures that I have read to you is so simple that a caveman can do it. It says there that what he's speaking of here is when God sends judgment upon this earth. When the judgment time comes, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be pleasant. It's going to be a time when people are going to absolutely be in the worstest conditions that you could possibly think about. Yes, there's folks that will say, yes, I've got a second chance. If I don't accept Jesus now, that I have that second chance after the judgment or whatever, after the church is called away, then you get into that tribulation time. Cindy can tell you about it. Of course, she studies this. She's a history expert, you know, and she keeps me straight. But the point is this, that one day very soon, Jesus is going to step out and he's going to call his church. That's the next thing to happen. All of the predictions, you can read them all through the scriptures, they're fulfilled. It's done. It's here and now. And if Christ were to come this very day, it shouldn't surprise any Christian here. But let me tell you something. There's so many people today that thinks that after the church is called away, they're going to live through this tribulation and they're going to have a second chance. They're going to be able to make it right and then go on into the glories of heaven to be with Jesus. Let me tell you something, folks. If you can't live it here, how in the world are you going to live it through the tribulation that the times will be so bad? I just read it to you that it tells us there are the peoples that are here today that are lifted up, those mighty peoples, and he compares them to, and as he talks about the cedars of Lebanon, yeah, the and the oaks, those men in strength, those strong peoples, those men in high places, and upon the high mountains, and upon the hills that are lifted up, yes, elevated, those things of this earth that we lift up today, and upon the ships, yes, and all the pictures, all these things are describing that this world that we're living in today, it's describing the sin that's all around us, that's out there in this world today, and the peoples that are all puffed up think they can make it upon themselves. Yes, they lift themselves up by their bootstraps, we might say. And the gold and the silvers and all this is being hoarded away to take care of them in a day of what? Well, what good will a pocket full of gold do you when this time comes after the church is raptured and the tribulation time starts to come and we begin to get the wrath of God? Yes. You think you've got it tough now? You think it's hard here upon this earth? Now you wait, folks. If you are not ready today, right now, if you are not ready to meet Jesus face to face and accept Him looking upon you, and he can look at us and say, "You welcome, my good and faithful servant." Or will he look at you and say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Yeah. Yes. If you think for one moment that you can make it through that tribulation time and you can't make it today, well, praise the Lord. Just think about it. Just think about it. He said it's going to be so tough that these high leaders, these great people that we lift up today, are going to seek shelter even in the rocks of the hills. Yes, cavemen are going to revert back to hiding in the cave that the wrath of God cannot fall upon them. Yes, you think it's tough. You don't know what tough is. Because in that day when God judges this earth, yes, when he judges this earth, it's going to be so bad that people will be crying out to be killed, that death will not come. They'll be crying out to take my life, just like old Job did, yes. He'll say, "Take my life, yes, destroy me. I can't stand it. It's too tough." Yeah, you think, yeah, you're going to make it through that. You sure are. Some will. Some will, but very few. Just think about it a minute. Today, well, we get offended. We get little things comes up in our lives, and we have it a little rough here or there or someplace along the line. We do, start crying about this, that, and the other. Not for one moment. Yes, when that wrath of God comes, it is more worse and more terrible than anything that you could possibly imagine. Yes. But there's one alternative, folks. Let me tell you about it. And that is Jesus Christ. We can accept him today. We can give our lives to him. We can say, "Yes, Jesus, I believe in you. Yes, God, I believe that you did send your only begotten Son into this world so that I wouldn't have to face all these things that I've just told you about." Yes, yes. If we accept him today, you won't have to see these great tribulations, because when he steps out on that and he calls his church, up we go. We're gone, out of here. And what's left is all of this commotion. Let them have it. You know, we've talked about this in our Bible study and discussed it at great length, and nobody knows the answer. We don't have it. We haven't been there, but we will be. We don't know what's going to happen. Well, let me tell you, folks, it is not my concern about what happens after the church is raptured, because I'm going to be gone. It is not my concern of what God does. That's his business, and he will do it. But let me tell you, it's going to be rough. It's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy, because the wrath of God's hand, when he comes upon the scene, it can be devastating. We look and we see these earthquakes, we see these tsunamis, we see all this that's going on around about us here today, which is predicted. Read it. Pick up the book and read it there in Matthew 24. It tells all about this that's happening every day that we see. Yeah, it's right there. We see these things and we think, "Oh, that's so terrible. That's just a drop in the bucket. It's just a little bitty taste of what's to come." Yes. But you know what? He will be there. When he calls his church, everyone within the sound of my voice must be ready to go. All sin in our life has to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, or you're not going. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, have accepted his blood to cleanse us from all sin, then you are not going. Simple as that. No two ways about it. It's just that plain. And you know, my job right here today is from this day until he comes. That's my part of it. My part of it is to warn you of that wrath to come. My job is to prepare you for Jesus Christ. When he steps out to call his church, that he can look upon you and say, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. That he won't have to look at you and say, depart from me. I never knew you. Yes, that's my job. Because what happens after the rapture of the church, he takes care of it. That's his business. That's his. And it's not for us to worry. It's not for us to be concerned. This Christian, I'm talking to Christian. It's not for us to be concerned as to what he does. He'll take care of that. He'll do that. But it's not going to be pleasant. You know, you ever hear the word hell? Heard a lot, haven't we? Did you ever think about it as just exactly what it might be? You read there in the book, and you read that it's an unquenchable fire. It's a fire that keeps on burning. In Bible times, they had a place outside of town where they burnt garbage. They had this place that they kept it a fire going out there at all times, and it was a place that was stink and smelled terrible. Well, Christ compared this to that, and he says that fire, it is never quenched. But he also said one more thing. He said, the worm dieth not. Yes, forever in an unquenchable fire. Back years and years ago, I was out doing some burning brush, you know, brush pile, have a big old brush pile up. And I guess that rabbits must have had a nest under that brush pile. I don't know, but anyhow, spring of the year, about this time, we cleaned up everything and piled it up and started the fire, and it was burning. And a rabbit came out of that brush pile, made a big old circle around, and right back into the fire. Right back into that fire it went. It knew where it was going, evidently. And I got to thinking, I said, why? Why would anything... Yes, Peggy, it's terrible to even think about it. How that anything would just go headlong right into a fire, a burning fire. It makes you shudder to think about it. You know? I don't know why that rabbit did it. Maybe it was just because it was used to doing it, and it had its regular trail that it went. Let me tell you something. There's people today that are rushing right straight into that fire. They're going headlong right into an unquenchable fire that burns forever. And you don't die. You just keep burning and keep burning and keep burning in misery. Yeah. Headlong. Just going right straight into that fire. Don't have to. Well, you know, that little rabbit probably, if he'd have been smart, or if he hadn't have been programmed, we might say, to that trip, he might have took another route and went another way to a peaceful place. But he didn't. And you know, sometimes we get programmed. Do we think we're right? The rabbit thought he was right. We get programmed, we get into a ritual or a habit or whatever it is that we get into, and we do things just the same, but we're headed into a devil's fire. Right smack dab into it. Instead of listening and using our head and not being swayed by this, that, or the other thing, and be able to see that there is a better way. You don't have to spend eternity in hell. You do not. All we have to do is just say, Lord, I can't handle it. I can't help myself. I cannot do it on my own. I'm not capable of it. I can't handle it. Take me for what I am. Just that simple. Take me, a sinner. There's not a one of you sitting in this congregation this morning that didn't have to pray that prayer. That didn't have to say, Lord, I am a sinner. I am not worthy of your goodness. I'm not worthy of your grace. But Lord, please, just accept me and take me for what I am and make me what you would have me to be. Clean me up. Make me acceptable. That one day, when he calls his church, we'll be in it. And we'll be lifted out of this terrible, sinful world. We'll be lifted completely out of it and into an eternal life with Jesus Christ. Peace. Peace that passes understanding. Lions, roaring, mean lions, were laid down side by side by the little lamb at peace. No locks on your doors. No evil going on. You don't have to worry about being attacked, robbed. Because the only thing that you will have is that peace and that love of Jesus Christ. We can have that peace within our heart. Oh, no. You're not going to eliminate all your trials and your troubles. And don't get me wrong. You're not going to do that. You're still going to have. But we will have a peace that will pass us understanding, that will take us through any of these things that Satan would throw at us. Yes. We can have it. If we but just say, Lord, take me for what I am and make me one of yours. Father, we thank you. And we praise you, God, for your word. And Lord, we thank you for the message, for the scriptures, for the warning, Lord, that you have given us, knowing, oh God, that we can't do it on our own. But with your help, Father, all things are possible. We can make it, Lord. If we put Satan behind us and keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the Savior of the world. We thank you, Lord, that you gave of your very best for me, a poor sinner. Search our hearts, Lord. Convict us, O God, and make us what you would have us to be. In the name of Jesus.